write books to help myself. You know, I do live just a fortunate life. I have, you know, a loving family.
Yeah.
And I live in a nice house and I sleep in a bed and I
yes.
clean water. And then sometimes I wake up and I'm not that happy. So I'm really, very curious about why I'm not that happy sometimes. Yeah. And I figure if I'm like that, then other people might be like that.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. Well, hey there, friends. It's conversation number 70 of the Christoph Lewis Podcast. I cannot believe it. 70 episodes is crazy, and I'm just very thankful to be here. I'm thankful that you're listening, and I can't wait to do 70 more. Seriously. I love doing this, and I love that you're here listening to this, because this means you are on a path to want to become a better you. That's not overused. You need to say it more. To become a better you, that's cool. You can be awesome now and be awesome more awesomer, I think. That's right. You can be more awesomer tomorrow if you continue to work on yourself today. So in all seriousness, I'm very happy. I'm very grateful that you're here today listening to this episode. My guest today is Julie Schuler. She is an author of 8 books, and her story is incredible, not just because she's written 8 books, but she had a career. She was an accountant and she lost her career. She has 2 kids. What do you do? And she got to pursue her passion in life, and she turned a disaster into something that she was able to master. That was unintentional. But it was incredible, and it was awesome to talk to her. And as we were talking in the beginning, we talked about a few things about the podcast. And then after a few minutes, we really were able to dive deep into it. And the podcast finished so strong. We really got into our stride, and I absolutely enjoyed my time speaking with her. Remember, you can find this episode and all other conversations and the contemplations on christophlewis.com/podcast. You can find me on Christoph Lewis, where I post daily to do my best to help you and push you in the direction to do all the things that you want to do in life and be the person who you truly want to be. Because I know that I am continuously evolving into my true self. And that's no disservice to who I am right now. That's what we need to realize. So, without further ado, welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
Thanks, Christoph. It's so great to be here and be talking to you across the world.
It's incredible to be able to talk to you across the world like this. I think it's so fun that you are a day ahead of us. I said that last time I had somebody from that side of the world over here, and I still think it's a hilarious joke, and I think it's really cool that we connect in such a fashion and we can talk instantaneously through a video chat and be able to have such an amazing conversation. And I've already enjoyed my conversation with you off camera, so I'm really excited to continue it on camera and on audio.
Oh, yes, so am I. I was saying to you off camera that I think we're very like-minded. We've got some of the same opinions, however controversial they may be.
Yes, and I think that's good, though, right? It's good to have controversial opinions, and it's good to challenge everything that everyone says, and kind of at least maybe you don't agree with it, but just ask yourself some important questions and some challenging questions, and you may end up going with it in the end. Like we were talking about retirement, and it can go to many different ways. I would love to be able to work until the rest of my life if, you know, it was like this. But then you had brought up if you were doing manual labor, and it can be a little bit different. So maybe you don't want to do that until the rest of your days. I did want to say that you are now an author of 8 books, which is very exciting. So congratulations. That's not a limited amount of books to put out. So that's a lot of hard work. And with 2 kids running around, I can imagine that's quite the accomplishment.
Yeah, sometimes I even tell people I'm an author. I still have imposter syndrome, but I daily strive to try and get over it. I'm a qualified accountant as well, so.
So it's interesting that you bring up imposter syndrome. I think I've, for the last probably 10 years of my life or so, I've experienced that. For anybody listening that doesn't know what it is, it essentially, and I'll try to put it in as layman terms as I can, is that when you maybe come to an organization, like when I came to the first command that I had in the Navy, everybody was top notch, tier one, type A, like very good at their job. And I just thought I was an imposter. I thought that I didn't belong there. I thought I didn't have what it was to just cut it and keep up with them. And I felt out of place. But in imposter syndrome, you have to realize that you're there for a reason. Like, I was there because I was selected to be there. And at my more recent job, I felt the same way. And I'm there because I was hired on to do that. So you're there for a reason. So have some confidence in yourself that you've been selected to do what you're doing, or you've chosen to do what you're doing, and that you can do well at it. How was your experience with imposter syndrome? You said in regard to being an author, you just felt maybe as being maybe a parent and maybe starting to be an author later in life than after being an accountant, you thought that that was maybe not what you were supposed to do, or what?
Well, I think you brought up a good point. You know, if you just go into a job and someone has selected you,
mm-hmm.
whereas if you become an entrepreneur or an mm-hmm. author or a podcaster or something,
yeah.
no one has selected you. You yeah. have got to select yourself.
Yeah.
Basically, you just get over imposter syndrome by doing the thing that you say that you're going to do. So
yes.
I'm not a writer unless I'm writing. So, you know, I've been writing. So
that's a great, no, that's an absolutely great point to bring up. I think that action just, whenever I get hesitant or stressed out about something and I maybe have that imposter syndrome creep up on me on something that I've elected myself to do, like you were saying, then I just take action. And I can pretty much guarantee if you're like me and you start taking action on items that are stressing you out, then I can just feel the stress just kind of wither away. So I love that you brought that up.
Or it's better stress.
Yes.
Because you're on the right path. You're doing the yes. thing that you're meant to be doing.
Better stress. Know? I'm all about the better stress. It's, you know, self-induced stress. It's not stress that you've not chosen to bring in your life. But if you take the path of resistance that typically helps you out in the long run, because most people don't take it, then yeah, that's self-inflicted stress. But wow, you are going to come out better on the other end. And another thing that you said, if anybody didn't catch it, is you used to be an accountant. And I know that you did it. It was about 4 years ago and you were pregnant with your second child, right? And you were let go from your job. Is that how it happened? And that's incredibly stressful. Speaking of stress, that's an incredibly stressful place to be. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so I'd been working there for 7 years and then I went from being an employee to being on contract because I wanted to reduce my hours with my children. And then my contract was not renewed, which was a professional business decision from their part. Mm-hmm. And I took it very personally and very emotionally.
Sure.
And it just brought up a whole bunch of feelings about being rejected. And I went and saw a coach, and she had just written a book. And I just said, oh, I think I might want to write a book. I dabbled in blogging. I dabbled in writing a picture book at that stage. And then she put me onto some resources, online resources, and slapped me around a bit and told me, gave me a good perspective on the fact that it was a professional decision and then I wasn't being rejected, or I could think of the rejection in a different way, and the fact that I got to spend some more time with my son, who was almost three at the time. And,
okay.
you know, you don't get that time back. You don't get that time back, you know, because you're just
finding
been
out
baby.
Real quick, yeah.
and then I really credit her with putting me on the right path. And Eloise was 6 months old when I published my first book. So
wow.
With her sleeping beside me, luckily she was a good sleeper as opposed to my first child who
yeah.
did not sleep for 6 months. And it's just continued since then. I sort of just can't believe it. 4 years have passed, I've blinked, and suddenly there's eight books. Like,
Yeah, it's incredible how that happens. I mean, I just released my 83rd episode, and I feel like I just started too.
Really?
You know, yeah. So like 8 books, 83 episodes. I mean, that's just it's a lot of work, and you don't believe it. And I think it's funny because inversely, when you start, you can never envision yourself, or sometimes you maybe doubt yourself, and you can't envision yourself getting one done. Never mind 5 or 8 books or 10 books or, you know, however many podcast episodes or whatever you're doing. So it's just so funny to look back after it's done and kind of think about where your mentality, like where your mindset was before you started. And now you're looking mm-hmm. back and you're like, I can't believe I've done 8 books now. And I think it's always important to think about that, to capture that moment and to see like, hey, I had doubts maybe if you did beforehand, and then capture that in that moment and use it to propel you into the future, to know when you have doubts in the future, if maybe you think you can't do something or you can't start a project or you can't write a book or whatever you want to do, like, hey, I didn't think I was going to be an author, but here I am and I've written 8 books, or me, like, I didn't even intend to get into podcasting, but now this week I've released, it'll be 85 episodes before the week is done. And it's just like, it's crazy where things can go. And it's, you know, you hear it all the time, it's cliche, like, just start with one step and start forward. But it's so damn true. Just start and you will be blown away about how far you can get when you just start. So absolutely, 100% congratulations on 8 books. And I did want to ask, though, you said you had a coach. Now, was this somebody you had selected to mentor you? And if you did you intentionally select them to coach you because they were already an author? Because it sounds like you may not have had writing as something you wanted to do already. Or did it just come up because this person was doing that?
I'd followed her for a while, and I really liked her teachings just on personal development.
Yeah, okay.
And then I read her book as well, which was awesome. And you know, it all just sort of came together. It was quite amazing when you think back about, you know, lost my job.
Yeah.
And I'd been following her for a while. I'd just finished her book. She actually had availability, because she doesn't have availability that often. You know, just and I didn't even know at the time, she just lived down the road from me.
Holy moly. That's crazy.
I walked to her house. You know.
Hold on. Like, so you found her on social media?
Yeah.
And then she lived down the street from you.
I had no idea.
That's incredible. Yeah. That's incredible.
And, you know, like you just think, these things do line up sometimes. Like, it's really amazing. I just want to say, I want you to have a celebratory 100th episode. You've got to have a think about that, because
I know
it's massive.
I need to start. I need to start looking forward to it already, because with the doubling them recently, now I'm doing 4 episodes a week. So
quadrupling them.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. It's crazy, and that's like crazy too. You realize, like, once you start doing something, like, here's a question for you: when you wrote your first book and when you wrote your 8th book, did you notice a drastic difference on your performance and your mindset as you were writing them, and perhaps the ease? I'm not saying it's always going to be easier, but did you feel at least a little bit more comfortable getting it done?
Yeah, I was going to say that. I am really proud of all my books. Oh, I've got a couple of them here.
Yeah, they're each all a stage of you. And,
but the book I wrote recently called Rediscover Your Sparkle, I wouldn't have written that 4 years ago. It just wasn't I just wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah.
It just wasn't what I was doing. So the first book was potty training book, and I don't have Rediscover Your Sparkle in paperback, but even like the 7th one, which is Find Your Purpose in 15 Minutes, that's a big difference in the type of books that I'm writing.
I think, and so,
I just wouldn't have allowed myself to sort of write what I really love to write on my first book.
Mm-hmm.
Although the potty training book is still the bestseller and still helps a lot of people. So.
That's so funny. But I think that's an interesting point that you bring up. You wouldn't have allowed to, because one thing I've noticed as a podcaster, that especially you go back to one of the earlier episodes, you go back even 10 episodes ago, like, I'm consistently finding my voice and finding who I truly am. And I'm allowing myself to be that on a massive scale. And I mean, like, on a massive scale, because lots of people hear it and lots of people see it. So, like, I think in your books as well, like, maybe you're not comfortable with actually writing about the things that you truly want to write about. But as you continue to write and you kind of figure out the process and you get a little bit more comfortable with the process, you slowly evolve into kind of portraying to the world, not portraying to the world, but showing the world who you really are and writing and talking about the things you really want to talk about. Is that kind of how you felt? Is that why you didn't initially write about what you wanted to write about?
Also, I just wanted to write a book that just involved a lot of research, putting things together, and then I could just put it into a book, as opposed to sort of mindful concepts where I had to find a lot of patterns and kind of really work out what I was trying to say. So I don't want to put people off writing a book. I want people to just write whatever they want to write, you know, whether it's easy, hard, whether it bears their soul, doesn't bear their soul. I just want people to be creative and write a book.
Sure.
Like, I don't want people to think that it's going to be so hard and that they'll reveal too much of themselves. And if you do, just don't publish it.
See, that's a good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah. People in the author community say if you write fiction, you actually reveal more of yourself than if you write nonfiction. And I've written a couple of novels, terrible, terrible novels.
Ah, don't say that.
Which are not published. but yeah, I definitely think there was a lot more of me on that page.
I think it's because maybe you allow, and I'd love to hear what you think, but is it because you allow yourself to just be in more of an creative state and an imagination state, and you really, I think, let your true self flow through? How do you feel that you were able to apply that mindset? Why do you think it came out more in your fiction?
I think in my fiction, I just knew I was not necessarily going to publish it, so I could just write whatever I liked, and it's very freeing. And I highly recommend if anyone ever wants to do a challenge to do NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month. It happens in November, and people are encouraged to write 50,000 words in a month, which is equivalent of a 200 pages novel. If you write every day, you're writing about 2,000 words a day. It should take you an hour or two a day. But it's still a massive challenge. But it's really fun, and it's free. You just sign up if you want to sign up.
Cool.
And like 300,000 people around the world do it every year. Yeah, it's a really amazing thing to do. I highly recommend it.
That's incredible. I kind of want to go back to more in your transition, and I want to do it for a couple of reasons. And one of the reasons, I know, like, our family, my wife and I are experiencing this as well. She quit her job, and it's brought on that stress of how you brought it up, like the self-inflicted stress. And it has been really stressful, but we'd much rather have that stress of her leaving her job than the stress of her working a job that she doesn't necessarily enjoy. And that just makes her not the happiest person. So I was very supportive of that. But in your transition, especially with children, and how did you find that transition become, or between doing something, I mean, these careers are completely different. So like, how did you feel? I mean, you probably didn't feel comfortable to take the leap from accountant to, because you could have maybe looked for another accountant job. I mean, was that even on the table, or were you like, I just want to do something completely different, and I want to do something that I'm going to enjoy and love?
It's still on the table to go to work.
I suppose it is.
You know, I'm still belong to the professional body.
Okay.
I believe for myself that if I wasn't pushed, I would never have gone down this path.
That's such a good point.
I always sort of thought, oh, I might write a book one day. But if I was trying to fit in around kids and work, for me, it probably would not have worked.
I love that point. Even though
it's probably one of the, and I live a very privileged and fortunate life, so it was one of the worst things that had happened to me, but it's one of the best things that happened to me.
Wow.
And it's always like that, isn't it? It is,
Yes, 100%.
It was what I needed at the time, and I encourage people to always keep their job for as long as they need to, you know, to pay the bills.
Sure.
Even if they just lean into doing something they love a little bit every week. I just read a great book called Play It Away, which was research for my Rediscover Your Sparkle book. And he said, if you do half an hour of play every day, that's only 2% of your week.
Wow.
So it's just, you know, it's just like your reading challenge. It actually doesn't take up as much time as you
it
think.
It doesn't.
You know?
It's kind of
crazy.
You know,
you swipe through social media for 45 minutes and you just don't even think about it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going. I've gone on to a little rant about social media.
You made a couple of good points. You said two really important things. You said, one, that the push helped you. And the second thing was that you sometimes are not necessarily aware of where your time goes. But when you really want to set your mind to doing something, you can absolutely do it. Like I thought I was going crazy when I set that challenge for myself. And now I feel like I can read more. Like I should be probably reading more. So I should probably somehow increase that goal for myself to force myself to do it. But because I feel like I'm only reading like an hour or two a day and that I still have other time. And I've increased the podcast from 1 to 4 and I still have time to do things. And it's just like when I didn't have a kid, and when I only had one episode a week, I was barely getting by what I thought. So it's a couple things at play here, a couple variables at play. One, I've gotten a lot better at doing what I need to do in my system to record, to edit, to post, to do everything that is needed has gotten a lot better. Like I'm sure your system from 1 book to 8 books has improved and you've been able to do that a lot better. But what I loved a lot, what you said is that leaving that job helped push you, or probably was the main factor to push you to be able to write, because it was always in the back of your head, I'm going to write, I want to write, I'll probably write one day, maybe I won't write one day. You know, like it's slowly the years and the days, they go by. And I'm going to say, I really love that, because what I want people to recognize in this podcast and through these conversations is, do what you want. And you don't have to be stuck into these jobs that, yeah, it can be hard to pay the bills, but sometimes you have something bad happen, like in your life. It's not necessarily the bad thing. And how are you going to react to it? And then maybe it's a blessing, and maybe it opens up your world to do those things that you've always wanted to do. And I just hate to see people locked down. And you know, it's great. I'm happy for you. I'm happy that you have a job, and I'm happy that you're able to support your family and pay the bills and do all of those things. But I also want you to be happy as an individual. And I think that we are capable of being able to do all those things, support our family and support ourselves and be happy and do things that we love. And this third point that you said is that you can wean yourself off of it, and you can kind of have this crescendo into things that you love. Like, for example, I'll use myself as an example again. Like, I was only doing one podcast at the time because I could barely function and do it and go to work and live my life. And I didn't even have a kid, and I was only barely doing anything. But I slowly had this like very slow crescendo for the last year and a half. And now I'm able to perform at this level. So if there's something you enjoy, whether it's being an author, or I don't care what it is, if it's music or real estate or investing, or it literally doesn't matter. You can just start, like you said, 2% of your week, a half an hour a day, and you can just start small. You can find 30 minutes in your day to do whatever it is. I promise you that you can do that. And if you do that 7 days a week, maybe an hour on the weekend. I mean, geez, in 1 week's time, even you'll know so much more than you knew before. And in a month, in a year, I think you just have incredible limitations that we put on ourselves that can just be blown down. The doors can be blown down, and the doors can be wide open, and we can do whatever we want. So you did say a lot of good points there. I don't want you to discount like getting off track, because I don't think it was off track. It was just that one thing, you know, got us excited to talk about the next. And I think that's how a lot of things happen, is one door opens and then you just see, like, not only did this me losing a job open up this other career and open up what I really want to do, but now I have to time to do it. And it's so crazy how one little thing, well, I mean, it was a big thing, but sometimes a small thing or a big thing can open up the doors for us to do whatever we want for the rest of our lives. You just have to walk through that door when the door opens for you.
Yes. And I agree completely. And I just want people find it very hard to be happy. Like they resist being happy. And it seems to be a theme throughout my books about why we resist being happy.
Hmm.
And I don't want people to think, well, I don't even know what to do for that half hour or 10 minutes a day or something like that. I just want people to lean into doing something that is not the norm, not, you know, just not your work, not your family, what you have to do, what you should do. Just lean into something. And if you decide to play the trumpet and you're terrible at it and you really hate it, and you will be terrible for a while, but if you really hate it, you know, try something else.
Yeah.
You don't just actually enjoy things for a while unless you kind of get better at them either. So,
and that's when they get real fun.
Kids just love doing this. Yeah. Kids don't care, you know, like it's just amazing. Oh, just another thing. Isn't it amazing how much more you do when you have a kid, because you kind of squeeze time into the right, like little chunks. I just look back on my pre-kids days and I'm like, what did I do?
That's the question that I ask myself on almost a daily basis. And when I talk to other parents, they say the same thing. And isn't that crazy though? Like, isn't that crazy? Like, that was what I was saying when I started the podcast. I didn't have a kid. I was only doing one a week and I was like stressed about getting things done and thinking I didn't have time. And then now I have a child in one hand, I'm typing on a keyboard in the other hand, and then I'm like trying to edit I can type really well with one hand now, and I'm like doing all these crazy things. But I think what it does is it forces you to, when you have the time to focus and do the things that you want to do, you have to do just that. You have to focus, and when you're working, that time has to be nothing but work. And I don't say work in the sense of like thing you don't like, but on whatever you're studying or whatever you want to work on in that moment. When I'm reading, I'm fully engaged in that. When I'm editing, I'm fully engaged in that. Whatever I'm doing for the time that I actually get, I'm fully engaged in that, and I'm very much focused. I'm very much focused. I always take away from the Bill Gates and the, oh gosh, I'm going to forget his name right now, Warren Buffett. And there are two things when they met and they had that interview. It's very, very popular. They said the one word that they would tell anybody is focus. So you have to focus. And like when you said, it is hilarious. It's funny because I think I was almost pathetic in a way. Like, how could I not think I had the time? And then here I am, you know, doing all the things I just described. But we find that when we get that time and you're able to focus, and you're probably writing books in between kids, and I just can't even imagine, you know?
Yes, I was very lucky. Eloise was a good sleeper. That, she was just down on the floor, just down there.
Yeah, and
sleeping away
and
a little, like, you know, had nice little blankets down there.
It's so sweet though, and we have the same thing, and she's crazy too sometimes. Like, she sleeps through the night for us, but sometimes during the day, there's no stopping it. Like, and I love it because I want to pay her, or I pay attention to her, and I absolutely love playing with her. But sometimes it's some late nights for us because we're studying some other things as now too, for investments, and we're teaching each other. So it's like, whoop, you're going to have to stay up a little bit later if you want to actually get that time into focus, because you absolutely have to give that time to your family as well. At least that's what I tried to do.
Balancing it all. I don't even call it a balance. I just call it a juggle.
Well, juggling's hard, so that's awesome.
Yeah, I truly believe I wouldn't have been creative without having children. Like, I believe that having children actually brought back my creativity.
Interesting.
Like, you know,
interesting.
Creating life brought back my creativity. So
I
don't know whether I even would have gone down this path without having children. So I can't imagine, you know.
Yeah.
And I definitely wouldn't have written a potty training book.
That's so funny. So I love talking about helping others. I pretty much ask this question to every single guest, but you help others. Your books help others. Potty training for parents, you know, helping parents, and all of the books that you've done, a lot of it's geared towards helping other people, and your mindset is very much geared towards that as well, and the things that you do. So I always like begging the question to my guests, why do you choose to help people? So why have you, Julie, choose to write books to help other people?
Well, I write books to help myself, I do live just a fortunate life. I have, you know, a loving family.
Yeah.
And I live in a nice house and I sleep in a bed and
I
have clean water. And then sometimes I wake up and I'm not that happy. So I'm really, very curious about why I'm not that happy sometimes.
Yeah.
And I figure if I'm like that, then other people might be like that.
Absolutely.
So my books are kind of basically all written to help myself, especially the last one, Rediscover Your Sparkle. And and hopefully they help other people too. I figure I'm not the only one who's not happy all the time.
No, I absolutely love that question. There's a lot of key points to take away there. I'll start with that this podcast for me is as much as it is for other people as it is for me. It is very much for me. I've been doing this, and I've said it in a few podcasts, so I'm sure somebody's heard this before, but I've been saying it's my verbal journal because I used to write a lot of things down in journals and journaling apps on my phone, and I got away from that when I started doing this, and I was like, I wonder why. And I was like, oh, I've been keeping a journal multiple times a week through a podcast. So I kind of, if you guys will hear it in a solo podcast, in a contemplation episode, but if you don't listen to those, I'll say it really quick here, but you can start your own verbal journal. It doesn't have to be a podcast. You can just open up your iPhone, record your voice, save it for that day, and just hear your voice later. See how you're feeling, because it's the beautiful part about the voice recordings is that you can hear your voice. You can hear your tone. And you can hear if you're upset, you're sad, you're happy, you're glad, you're mad, you're frustrated, you're stressed out. And I think that's just the beauty, again, of what the audio can deliver you that maybe sometimes writing can't. And I know writing can, because when I used to write, I could very much feel my tone when I was writing, very much so, especially if you're actually writing it out with a pen or a pencil. But I just want to say to people, there's different ways to do things. Maybe you don't want to write. Maybe you're a slow writer. Well, then you just talk into your phone and you can hear yourself after a day, after 2 days, after a week, after a year, and see how you feel. And I think that's very curious to annotate it as such. So there's many ways to go about all of that.
You can tell how much you love podcasting and voice. I think you should write a book. You could just dictate the whole thing. Lots of the most prolific authors out there these days just dictate their books. Which I haven't gone into because I just feel like typing for some reason just, I don't know, it just brings out my creativity.
Yeah, and
also, it's just another thing to learn, and I just don't want to learn.
Yes,
it right now.
Yeah, not right now.
Perfect for dictating a book.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I think I do want to write. There's a thing up here behind us. Everybody knows I have this whiteboard on here. It says, if and when I write a book, you're going to be in it, because it says book with all guests. That's what it says. Yeah. I'm serious. So I want to go through a book and I want to get all through these amazing points and all these amazing things that all my guests say and put it into the book and kind of tie it all together. But I do want to go back to what we were kind of both saying, is it's very much for ourselves. So it's okay to do that. It's very much okay to write things, to speak things, you know, to make podcasts, to create content for your other people that helps other people, that it helps you too. Because there's not a podcast that I walk away from. Like, I already feel it right now. I feel euphoric just talking to you and getting my thoughts out and hearing your opinion on things and just having this kind of ping pong of thoughts back and forth and back and forth and hearing your why and hearing your reasons and hearing, you know, you leave your job and you go do something that you've always wanted to do. It's incredibly inspiring. And my wife, I told her, she's inspired me by leaving her job. And it just keeps it going when you continue to talk to people that are kind of going the direction that maybe you want to go, that will continue to ignite that flame that you want in your life. And that's why I'm always going to continue to do this for as long as I can, for as long as this vehicle is here. And maybe I'll do it in a different way down the road. But for now, I'm just going to keep on doing this. And it sounds like you're going to continue to keep on writing. Is that the plan for you?
Yes, that's my plan. At least in the next, I know what my next book is. And then I'm not sure what my ninth book is going to be on decluttering. And I have been talking about this book for so long that I just need to get it out in the world. And I'm not sure what my 10th book is going to be yet. But
that's all right. You don't need to know yet. That's very exciting.
I have to have book number 10.
Yes.
I also do a dedication to different members of the family. And I have to get the ninth one out because I haven't done one to my dad yet. And then I've got some nieces and nephews. So like, I have to write enough books for all my family members, and then I'll...
That's so fun. And it's so cool to be able to do that. Just being a creator of whatever kind of content you want, it's really great. So if you haven't created content, I would suggest anybody to just start creating, and you really find that you don't have to be artsy. You don't have to be having this amazing imagination. And I think you find when you start doing something and you take those first steps forward, you find maybe you do have a knack for some things. And like you said, one of your points way back was it may just not be for you. Like, I don't know what you said, but if you pick up the guitar and you don't enjoy the guitar, or you said not the, what did you say? The trumpet.
Oh, trumpet.
Yeah, you said trumpet. You may pick up the trumpet. You're not going to be good at first and you may not enjoy it. And that's fine. Put the trumpet down. Try the drum set or try drawing or try. And that's fine. You just keep on trying and keep on trying if you want to do it and you'll get better at it. And then the more you enjoy it, the better you'll get. And then it just keeps on going and it keeps on going. Yeah,
exactly. People live in these cultural constructs where they, you know, like they think there's a particular way they need to live, or and like there's that cliche that you're living life like a dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
And like they're worried what others think. Well, no one thinks about you, so don't worry about what others think. Just do whatever the heck you want. And you know, like a couple of years ago, I did a bucket list challenge, and I did 40 things on my bucket list.
I saw that. So, that's so cool. So cool.
In a year for when I turned 40. And, you know, I got a bit of backlash about it, and I didn't spend as
– oh, gosh.
I went off and did a couple of things without the kids or whatever. It was the best year of my life. It was awesome.
That's
like,
yeah.
You know, like it was just amazing. And, you know, like no one can take that away from me.
No, absolutely. And that's what's life about. Gosh, truly, we could talk forever, but I've absolutely enjoyed my time with you today. And I'm so happy that you reached out to me. And I think, like I said, I always try to hit on that career aspect of our lives, because I think it speaks so much into so many other aspects of our lives. Being able to wrap your mind around that career transition and really coming into who you are, which we were talking about, the more you do something, the more you write, and the more that I've podcasted, I've really found my voice. I've really found myself. And I think when you just do that with your career and you find you're pursuing something that you really want to do, you're finding yourself more every single time. It doesn't have to be a career transition. It can be anything that you want in life that you've always wanted to do. And you slowly start doing things that you want to do, and you find yourself. And I think that's just like, that's ultimate. That's like really living. It's really living. And that's what I want people to do. And you've been able to do that. And what's brilliant about your story is that you didn't think it was going to be that way. Some very bad circumstance turned into this incredible circumstance to help you and guide you and ultimately push you in the direction of doing something that you always wanted to do. So I think it's very incredible for that. And I do appreciate you sharing that with me and with all everybody listening.
Thanks, Christoph. Yeah, I reached out because I just, yeah, lots of things you say, it's just so similar to what I say.
Yeah.
And think. And,
yeah. Yeah,
and,
well,
and not everyone out there thinks like that. So.
No, and that's fine. You know, everybody can think how they want. And that's one of the things that I push out very much. And I know sometimes I teeter on controversial things, but that's fine. You don't have to subscribe to everything I say. I don't expect you to subscribe to everything I say, but maybe I'll say something that at least kind of jog your mind and get you thinking in a different direction to challenge things that go out there, like we were saying about retiring. Like, I don't want to retire. I also just like saying crazy things that are just going to challenge the status quo, because that's how I want my mind to be. I always want to challenge myself and challenge thoughts that are out there. And that's why I'm taking my life in a crazy trajectory that's slowly shifting in that way for my own life. So hearing your story was incredible.
Thanks. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you for having me on. I'm very honored.
Absolutely. All right, Julie, thank you again so much. And I hope you have it's the morning there. I got to remind myself, but enjoy the rest of your day today. And I got a couple hours I'm going to hit the hay.
What time is it there?
It is, let's see, for all those, I'm recording this one at 6:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So probably, honestly, I'll probably be up for four more hours. These nights have been staying up late doing things. So I got a couple more hours.
Yes, yeah. Oh, good evening then.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. And I wish you continued success. And I will actually, we are going to be in need of a potty training book probably before too long. Yeah. I know which one to go towards now. Very much so. Very much so. Thank you.
Don't worry about it for a couple of years. It's just
done. Yeah, right. All right, Julie. Well, have a good day. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye. See ya.